Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Robin East, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Information Systems and Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department. Robin, in many ways, this is a return visit for you on Ask the CIO. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jason.
Let's start with some basics. It's been 3 years since you were named Treasury Deputy Assistant Secretary and CIO. Discuss how different Treasury is today than it was maybe when you got here 3 years ago from an IT perspective.
For one thing, you know that a big focus for us has been shared services. And this really goes beyond IT, but it very much impacts IT. We have significantly enhanced our shared services efforts and broadened the use of our shared services since a couple of years ago when we spoke. We have a shared services council that's made up of deputy bureau heads so that we all collaborate on those shared services and how we're going to expand. We've also enhanced collaboration between the bureau CIOs and my office, I think, a great deal. It's a very different relationship than what it was before. I've also focused on making OCIO a more mature service organization, and we've made some progress there. And then related to the expansion of shared services, we've made a great deal of progress in consolidating our data centers into two IRS data centers in Memphis, Tennessee and Martinsburg, West Virginia. And that's the basis for really our largest initiative.
All right, so a lot of priorities that you're touching upon. We'll hit upon all of those. Let me just start with shared services because I think that's a concept that I'm very interested in across government. I'm seeing a lot of movement. When you define shared services, are you looking at, for instance, something like strategic sourcing where you're saying, how are we going to buy desktops, as an example, differently than we did in the past, or true shared services, which maybe also include financial management, HR, or help desk, where there's one central place that provides all those services to all of Treasury?
It is both of those things. As you know, we have a number of shared services programs that have been in place for a while, HR Connect being one of the largest. And so there's been a lot of expansion there. We also have the enterprise content management environment that's based on SharePoint that has seen tremendous growth over the last couple of years, and I want to say more about that later. But we're also focused on strategic sourcing. And, for example, we're going to have consistent standards on types of printers across all of Treasury, and this is something that's already been agreed to, so that we can control the cost better, particularly of the toner, which is where the big cost is when you're talking about printing costs. So that's an initiative underway. We already have underway an initiative to get to standard desktops and laptops, and we're looking at wireless services. That's on the cellular side, and other wireless devices, trying to consolidate contracts there and get to a strategic place with those.
And I know both of those areas, initiative around desktop and laptops, as well as wireless devices and services, huge money-saving potential there. I've heard it from other agencies. Is that the main reason you guys are going down that path, is all about the money savings?
That certainly is a major driver, but let's face it, it's just the most efficient way to handle those services. From a cost perspective, from a perspective of complexity, which kind of all goes back to cost, right? But it's just much simpler to have one way to manage services that everybody's using. If you go back to the concept of portfolio stat and trying to consolidate commodity services, right? I mean, this is right in line with that as well.
One thing that occurs to me, because Treasury is very similar to, I think, Interior is very similar to Commerce in the sense that you have some very big bureaus that kind of are the 800-pound gorilla. You mentioned the IRS data center, so we'll pick on them for a second. Commerce has Census. I think Interior has several. You're looking mainly at the back-end stuff to say this is the commodity IT. You mentioned portfolio stat. That's really where it sounds like your focus is.
It is. For the most part, we're looking at commodity things, and we won't be able to address all of those right away, but where it makes sense, rather than having more, for example, data center silos grow up here and there, that's the reason for the consolidation into Memphis and Martinsburg. With the flexibility that we're building into that infrastructure, we have the ability to provision quickly for Bureau needs, and we plan to do that as we go forward.
Let's talk about that data center consolidation. When we talked the last time about 2 years ago, August 2011, it's almost 3 years ago, you mentioned that data center consolidation was a major priority. You mentioned just recently now that you consolidated down to those two data centers. What kind of benefits are you seeing? Are things better? Are things cheaper? Are things faster?
Well, let me be clear. We don't only have those two data centers, but that's where we're building the enterprise infrastructure for our shared services that are supported out of my office. And we're still in transition with that, but we are seeing service improvements for the things that have moved and are stabilized already, also seeing cost efficiencies.
So where you're at with the data center consolidation effort, or how many do you have? How many do you hope to get down to? Is it the goal to get down to those two at the IRS that they run, or is it somewhere between however many you have now and two or three or four?
There will be some data centers that the bureaus have that won't consolidate right away that are not in the plan right now. But, for example, IRS already had their own separate initiative to get rid of a lot of small data centers and make their two main data centers, Memphis and Martinsburg, simply because there's a capacity there to handle not only what the IRS needs, but what we need to incorporate our shared services there. So IRS has its own initiative. They have a number of small data centers that they're consolidating. We're just pulling enterprise services together. Like, for example, HR Connect production environment was in the Detroit IRS data center. So IRS is closing that and consolidating. So we're moving HR Connect. So the initiatives come together.
All right, I know that one of the goals of the administration has been data center consolidation, and not just, hey, let's just close down 30% or 80%, whatever the number is, but really to look at optimization. Is that a key goal of yours as well when it comes to looking at data centers?
Absolutely. Where we've been able to find sources of funding, we have rebuilt the infrastructure as we moved services to Memphis and Martinsburg. We've had to do a little bit of forklifting, and sometimes it depends on the age of the equipment and the type of service, but we've done a little of both. Our real plan there is to virtualize as much as we can. I mentioned flexible provisioning. We need to be able to have a largely virtualized environment in order to do that. And I think I may have also talked to you a couple of years ago about changing the security architecture as we make that move. And we're doing that as well because as we expand our shared services, we need the ability to provide services, collaboration services, not just across Treasury, but beyond to other financial sector entities. And we find that what we need to do that is a more flexible security architecture than what we've had, which has been largely based on FSMA High, because that was the need that departmental offices and some of our shared services needed. So as we expand and we need other levels, we need the flexibility to do that.
All right. I know we're going to talk security later in the program, but let me jump back to virtualization for a second. Is your end goal there to be, again, virtualize how much by the end of, let's say, this fiscal year? And then is there an end goal to say we want to be, you know, 80, 90% virtualized in 5 years, in 3 years?
Well, if we're talking about the enterprise infrastructure, everything that we're doing there is virtualized. Everything that we're building there will be that kind of environment because it's just easier to provision.
And then what about, for instance, mission area stuff? Is that folded into the mission area, meaning the virtualization efforts and the enterprise infrastructure, or is that just the commodity back office stuff?
It's just the commodity back office stuff. There's still some legacy stuff out there, obviously, that won't be modernized yet, and it'll be a trend over time.
All right, on that note, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Robin East, the Treasury Department's Chief Information Officer.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Robin East, the Treasury Department's Chief Information Officer. Let's move on to another priority from last time that you mentioned, which was around the Enterprise Content Management and Collaboration Platform. You mentioned it just earlier as well, based on SharePoint. What's the status of that? Sounds like you guys are getting a lot of using it and a lot of benefits.
Absolutely, and this is a very exciting story because when I came to Treasury 3 years ago, as someone said to me recently, Enterprise Content Management, or ECM as we call it, was a dirty word. Nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted to pay for it. Everybody thought it would fail. It had some DSCIP funding, and that's about all it had. And we have worked because we felt like that was a really important environment for Treasury to have and that was needed all over the place. We've turned that into an enterprise service that has grown. I think it was in FY13 that it grew by 300%. And we have built a number of applications that are in use, being adopted across Treasury. For example, there's an e-case management system, electronic case management, that is generic enough to be adopted by different kinds of offices that have case management needs with, you know, a little bit of configuration tweaking here and there. So that's been adopted a number of different ways. Another important application to note is we've built a suspension and debarment system that's being looked at for adoption across federal government, and we've already done demonstrations for quite a number of other agencies.
Give me a sense of why ECM was such a dirty word. Was it just a history of failures previously, or was it just so hard to do, like an ERP system? You probably hear that, as well as a system of people who don't want to touch it, that success just was so far off they couldn't see it, and so therefore, why bother trying?
I think it's a combination of that, fear of failure and fear of loss of control, because we were earlier in the adoption of shared services at that point. And so, you know, people who had to look at decommissioning their own separate content management environments were facing a loss of control, right? Because coming into a shared environment where they had to share governance with other bureaus is a threatening experience for some people, but it's worked out very well. We have a very active governance structure, and it's been a success, and it's still growing.
Do you think one of the reasons why it's been a success is that Shared Services Council you mentioned earlier on in our conversation, the fact that you're bringing people together, they have decision-making authority or at least input, and then they feel like they're part of the process versus just being told to do something?
I think that's absolutely true. I think it's true anytime you are providing support for a shared service like this. If you don't have the voice of the people who are the customers of the system involved in making decisions about it, your risk of failure is much higher. And yes, the Shared Services Council was the one to originally support the creation of a budget that would allow enterprise content management to go forward as a shared service and be what it is today.
Are there other reasons why you think this has been successful? Is it a technology issue? Is it a budget issue, meaning people realize that they can no longer support their own content management system and, hey, maybe we do need the shared services because we can't afford this anymore?
I think that's true in some cases, but I also think it's true that there were collaboration needs out there where people didn't have an easy-to-use environment that they could go to, set up a collaboration site easily. One of the things that we're working on now is back in the sort of in the security architecture arena and also in identity management, a big initiative that is coming up for us is working across Treasury and beyond with some of the other financial sector entities to create federated identity management so that we can further use that collaboration environment, which is a little kludgy to do right now without being able to federate identity management.
And I know there's a big pilot going on at the Postal Service and NIST and GSA that are running the what they call the F6, the Federated Cloud Identity Exchange model, so something maybe you're watching. I don't know if that's come across your radar yet. What's the future of the Enterprise Content Management System? What other collaboration tools are coming? How do you see it growing over the next year or so?
I see it mainly growing in a broader set of customers who can take advantage of the site. We're looking at a lot of bureau interest. where people have had their own collaboration environments but are now looking at this one because it's enterprise, the cost is already shared, it just makes sense to come to it.
From a savings standpoint, are you able to calculate savings yet from having this enterprise-wide service?
It's a little hard to do that when the level of service hasn't stayed static. When you have 300% growth, it's hard to say what was in the base and what's actually, you know, because of the growth. Because we have had to add some capacity over time, and we've totally changed how the infrastructure was hosted. So it's not quite an apples-to-apples comparison.
Well, let's check in on one last priority before we move to some new ones, which you gave us a heads-up on. One of them at the time was data analytics software, something that we talked about, the enterprise data warehouse. Obviously, it's been a couple of years since we talked about that as well. Talk a little bit about how that's helping the department make better decisions. And from an IT perspective, what are you doing to continue to enhance the use of tools and data?
This is one of the initiatives that's been slowed down a little bit by budget constraints and also by the fact that we had some foundational pieces that we needed to put into place. So what's happened so far is we've established some data management best practices, including a governance structure, which wasn't in place before. And we have started focusing on the area where we were most mature before, which is our people data. And that's a pretty logical place to start because people data is a foundational piece when you start talking about bringing together different types of administrative data for decision making. So we have a group of HR folks who are helping us lay out standard definitions for a number of fields. We have a target for this fiscal year to get a number of HR people data elements that we will declare standard definitions for and then move forward from that. Meanwhile, we have done some work on bringing in financial data, facilities data, but there's some maturity needed to be built in there before it becomes the kind of data warehouse that will easily support decision making.
From a budget perspective, is it delayed? Can you give a sense of how much it's delayed? And then do you foresee the move to the right, as they say, a year later than you wanted, 2 years later? Or is it really, again, depends on what Congress does, what the department decides upon? There's a lot of factors in it that you have to deal with.
Yes, it depends greatly on the level of cuts that we continue to take going forward. But it also depends on how fast the progress is that we can make on the things that we have laid out for this year. Do we get good, solid data definitions and data quality processes in place for 120 types of data, of people data, or is there still more work to do on that? The other thing that impacts us, too, is as we have more demand than we have resources to meet, we have a priority setting challenge. And one of the things that I like to point out to people is in IT, we take our share of budget cuts, just like everybody else does. But then what we find is other people's ideas for cutting budgets often involves the use of more technology. So the demand on us goes up at the same time that our budgets are going down by the same amount as everybody else's. So that's a little additional challenge that we have to deal with. I think if we're able to make progress on a number of these fronts while still dealing with that, we're doing okay.
Seems like a lot of CIOs in your position that people want to cut budgets but want more from technology. How are you making decisions? How are you setting those priorities of where you're going to spend the IT money?
We have a very active governance structure that's also new, or at least renewed at the Treasury-wide level and also at the departmental offices headquarters level. We go through a planning cycle with both of those boards, one, again, at the Bureau level for headquarters, and then at the Treasury-wide level for all of our shared commodity services. So we're about to kick off the next planning cycle there where we'll talk about what's going on with all of the investments there. And we actually have a scoring system that we ask them to use so that we can see what those scores look like and then come back to them with, here's what the way you rated these services says about our priorities. Now, where do we need to tweak and where do we have funding issues and that kind of thing? So it's become a very structured process that we do in collaboration with other IT folks and with customers around the department.
All right, on that note, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Robin East, the Treasury Department's Chief Information Officer.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also...
that bid protest on the DOD contract.
Right. But did you know...
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about...
OMB's digital strategy.
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Robin East, the Treasury Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Robin, before break, we spent a lot of time talking about older priorities with a few new ones mixed in, so let's jump right into those new ones. What are you trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months? And let's lead off with that security architecture that you mentioned a couple times.
Some of the initiatives that I had already set require more time than we've had so far to actually complete. So we're still working on the enterprise infrastructure that we refer to as mobile treasury, and I'll explain that in a minute, of which new security architecture is a part. So we don't have as much flexibility because we have built our shared services out of what has largely been an environment that supported the departmental offices, the headquarters of Treasury. We just have less flexibility there because of the FSMA rating than what we need. And so we're backing up, we're looking at what is it really going to take to provide all of the collaboration services that we want to provide. I mentioned other financial sector entities that are not necessarily subject to the same standards as we are, but we still have to collaborate with them, and we still have to make sure that Treasury's environment is protected. So striking the balance there requires some redesign of how we do security for different systems, and that's what we're working on.
Let me just pull the string on that for a second. When you talk about striking the balance, obviously security is paramount for any CIO. We can just look at the most recent Heartbleed virus or Heartbleed vulnerability that everyone's been talking about. How do you strike that balance? How do you say this part of the system can be moved to moderate or low, but this part of it needs to hit high? Or is it even slicing off a chunk of the system to say we can make this open to more of the public?
It's a combination of those. It depends on what the application is and what our current or even anticipated customer base is, how we'll do that. The point is, without going into the details of that architecture, we just need to build in that flexibility. And there are a number of different ways to do it technically, and we haven't necessarily figured all that out yet, but we are working on the design that will lay out and give us the flexibility that we need.
And that's where the identity management piece comes in, the federated identity management that you mentioned earlier. What's the status of that? Is that, again, it's part of the architecture design, so is it in the beginning stages?
It is. We are actually having conversations with some of our partners across the financial sector. We are about to do a pilot with a couple of entities that I'll leave nameless at this point, but we're doing a pilot of some federation that with a group that's really interested in using our collaboration environment and needing to have those services. And so it's a small piece to sort of split off and say, let's pilot with this and see how the tools work and see where we go.
All right, let's move on to a couple other priorities. What else are you working on beyond security?
Well, we talked a little bit about strategic sourcing, and I just wanted to mention that again to say that has become more of a focus for us this year. We've talked about the areas that we're going to focus on first, but that is an initiative for which we're accountable to my management going up. We also have a couple of other initiatives that we're working on getting funding for to enhance our cybersecurity posture. related to federated identity management, we're also looking at how to accommodate derived credentials so that we can have a mobile device management strategy that encompasses dealing with our favorite topic for a while now, which has been the PIV card. And what in the world do you do with that when you're trying to swipe it across a mobile device, which doesn't work too well? So we're looking at the new guidance that came out from NIST and how we're going to deploy derived credentials as well. Related to the enterprise infrastructure, the move to Memphis and Martinsburg, another initiative there was to make sure that we were ready for the use of mobile devices. So we designed that infrastructure with mobile devices in mind as well. More mobile apps, you know, that kind of thing, so that we could more easily adapt to that, where with some of our older infrastructure, that was harder to do.
Let's talk mobile for a second. That's another hot topic I hear a lot of CIOs talk about. What is the status of the mobile devices in Treasury now? Is everyone still on BlackBerry? Are you looking to move to Android devices or Apple devices or Windows mobile devices? And what about tablets? Where do they fall?
BlackBerry is still our standard device, but we are testing various other types of devices, both other types of mobile phones as well as various kinds of tablets, so that we can work our way towards setting a mobile device management strategy and setting some standards for those devices. There are already some uses out there that are sort of ahead of us in this because we've just been a little slow to move to mobile devices, but I think we're very close now to having a strategy in place and having.
All right, so something maybe to watch out for. We are almost out of time. Before I let you go, let me touch upon one last thing. You talked a little bit about the budget. You talked a little bit about the changes that are coming, you know, through data center consolidation and security. From a vendor standpoint, is there anything they need to know about your office, how they work with you? Talk a little bit about what they should know about your office.
First of all, they should know that I can't talk to all of them. That's just something that plagues me, and I hate to turn people down, but it's a problem. The other point that I like to make to vendors is, and I did this recently on a conference panel, don't divide and conquer. Today is the day of strategic sourcing, of enterprise agreements. There's no more opportunity to go sell bureau by bureau or even, in worst cases, program office by program office. We need to make our purchases with an enterprise perspective.
All right, I think that is excellent advice that a lot of CIOs are probably saying to vendors. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Sounds like we could probably talk a little bit longer. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Robin East, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Information Systems and Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department. Robin, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.